everybody. Welcome to another edition of Further Review with the Buffalo News. I'm Ryan O'Halloran along with Jay Skruski. We're a couple hours removed from 47-10 Bills over the hapless Jaguars on Monday Night Football. And, you know, Jay, one of the things you led your story about was the everybody eats mantra continuing for this Bills team. Just about every skill position caught a pass. What jumps out at you as you're looking at how this football was distributed by Josh Allen on Monday night?
Yeah, I think the thing that jumps out is that they're living up to those two words, right, that we've heard so often, really going back to training camp. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to follow through and actually do it. And Josh Allen completes passes to 10 different receivers last night, 9 of those in the first half alone. Really remarkable in terms of spreading the ball around. One off the team record that actually Allen owns a part of, that was 11 back against Miami a couple of years ago. But, you know, as I said, it's one thing to say that that's going to be the game plan moving forward. It's another to actually execute it. And this has not been a 1 week or a 2 week or even a thing or example. They have now done this really through 3 weeks. I believe it was in the opener that there was 9 different receivers that caught a pass. They better that number by 1 against Jacksonville. And it makes it really, really stressful if you're a defensive coordinator to try and defend this team, because you quite simply don't know where the football is going to go. They can run it when they want to run it or when they need to run it with James Cook. We've seen that through the first 3 weeks. And now we've seen, and as we knew, they can throw it with Josh Allen. And not only that, they can throw it wherever they want. And so I think that is a luxury for an offense. And there's a reason, Ryan, that to me, it looked so easy at times. And that's because Allen was just very, very comfortable with his reads, where he wanted to go to the with the football. And the result sort of speaks for itself. I mean, they put up 47 points against a pretty good defense that held Miami in check in week one, and, you know, held Cleveland in check, I know, not as strong of an opponent in week two. So really, really impressive by the Bills offense and Josh Allen getting everybody to buy in to this idea that everybody eats.
Yeah, and I'll admit I was not buying into that idea during training camp. I thought this passing game would go through Dalton Kincaid, maybe 100 catches. I think in crunch time he'll still be one of the more involved guys. But you look at some of these long plays, they didn't have a pass longer than 27, 19, 28, 16, 24, and 16. So they're these guys are making plays after the catch. And, you know, the first couple of years I was here, is you trained your brain to look at 14 coming out of the play. Okay, where's Diggs? Is he in motion? Is he the intended target? Is Josh going to force something to him? Now it's like, okay, you don't even see that some guys are even in the game. I didn't even notice 15 Valdez-Scantling on the field until he caught his pass. So, and if from Joe Brady's standpoint, it's pretty smart, because you've said for 5 months, you want guys to buy into this theory that it is going to be by committee. Well, you got to give them some touches for them to buy in. And I think the circumstance of the game, everybody, you know, got a catch. And so I think this is a very impressive development, just as much as it is encouraging that, hey, if a team devotes extra resources to one of these receivers or tight ends, he'll just go to somebody else.
You're right. It all sounds so simple, and we've heard it so often from Allen in terms of going to where the open receiver is, right? Getting the ball to his playmakers and letting them make plays. And it started from the very first play from scrimmage. You know, James Cook is wide open for just a little out route, basically, and he takes it for 19 yards. And, you know, Allen repeats so many different things, but you hear frequently, I'm going to go to where the open receiver is, and I want to get the ball to my playmakers and let them make plays. And that was on display time and time again last night against the Jaguars. Again, it goes back to what I said before about it looking easy. Well, it is easy when guys are running wide open. And, you know, we'll talk about Joe Brady in the game that he called. I thought it was magnificent. But guys are wide open. They're making the catch. And then they're picking up chunk yards after chunk yards, as you pointed out there. Yeah, and Ryan, listen, the offense, as we know, is going to go through Josh Allen. He's got help, right? James Cook has been off to a great start. But when you watch what we watched Monday night, I mean, if you're an NFL fan, if you're a casual football fan and you're watching that in Omaha, Nebraska, you're thinking to yourself, this is the best player in the league right now. And, you know, you summarized your column, I think, in today's Buffalo News with three letters. MVP. And you know, it's early, but that was a pretty convincing case that the quarterback of the Bills built last night.
I can't let this go any further. Favorite golf course in Omaha, Nebraska? Go.
Omaha, Nebraska is one of the that's one of the states I need to check off. I
All
have
right.
not been to Nebraska yet.
Well, next time, one of our annual trips to Kansas City, drive up there. But Louis Riddick from ESPN, I talked to him last week, and I asked him a question. I've known Louis since he worked for Washington. I said, you're a former player, you're a former scout. What's it like watching Josh Allen play in person? And he just started laughing. He goes, every football fan needs to try and get to a Bills game because the TV, he goes, in this case, the film does lie. He's better in person. So playing off of that is, it was, this is a quarterback in such command of what he's doing offensively with the system, with his teammates, with his leadership. 23 out of 30, 263, four touchdowns. I mean, he just looked like, the protection was great. The play calling—I mean, the fourth down play call by Joe Brady on that first drive, Khalil Shakir was wide open, just like James Cook was wide open on fourth down in the Miami game. So they're scheming it up, and really, it's—he's still going to have a couple of those moments where it goes right through the defender's hands because he's starting to force things, but he doesn't force—he's not forcing a lot. Hell, he even slid in the second half in the red zone. I mean, that was like a holy-you-know-what moment. So. Right now, and you go. Let's go back. We'll talk about Diggs in a couple of weeks, but I'll just go back to that Brandon Bean press conference the day they traded Diggs to Houston. He looked liberated, and to me, that quarterback was going to be liberated. And he admitted back in May, "Hey, there was some force at the Diggs going on." Now he can just say, "Okay, this is my first read. If he's not open, go to second, go to third, and then I'll scramble." So this is right now. I would put him at the top of the MVP race. His team is undefeated. He had a national stage last night till people turned it to the other game to show his greatness and show what he's all about. So, I mean, throw it to you on Allen. You've seen him play since the start. I mean, are we getting to another level here?
It certainly feels like it. I mean, what's been the one criticism of Josh Allen? Certainly nationally. I don't know as much locally because I think we've learned here in Buffalo that you live with some of maybe the hero ball at times, right? The trying to do too much, maybe putting the ball in harm's way a little bit just because of the brilliance, right? And the spectacular plays that we know he can make. But no question that has been the knock on him that he turns the ball over too much. I saw people were talking about it yesterday, right? Well, guess what? He's not thrown an interception this season. He's lost one fumble in the opener. You know, what's the total of, touchdowns that he's accounted for? So that touchdown to turnover, differential is magnificent. You know, Pro Football Focus tracks turnover worthy plays. I don't know that they've updated it through week three, but I've got to think that Allen, it's got to be single digits. I mean, the guy is not putting the ball anywhere close to harm's way. I can think of one throw last night where maybe it went through a Jacksonville defender's hands where it was a bit of a dangerous play. Allen is just, he is maturing, right, in all of the best ways. And you mentioned the offensive line. I think we got to give them some flowers here too. Josh Allen's been hit one time in the last two games. He's not been sacked. One quarterback hit between the Dolphins and the Jaguars. And when you think of that Jacksonville pass rush and the pressure that they put on Allen last year in London, really, really impressive by the line. But Allen gets some credit for that too. I mean, we know how unbelievable he is at making that first rusher miss. And we've seen him just expertly step up in the pocket, spin out of the pocket, just avoid trouble, avoid those turnover worthy plays. It's hard to say right now that he isn't playing some of the best football of his career. And you talked about Diggs and the buy-in, and this kind of goes back to, our first segment when we talked about the 10 different receivers. Well, Allen's got everybody believing in that, and he's got everybody thinking, "Hey, if you can be selfless and put the team first, I am going to find you. You're going to get your opportunities," and it's resulting in spectacular offensive football right now.
Yeah, and one last thing on Allen. He rushed six times for 44 yards. Jacksonville played man coverage. He just took it right up the middle. So now if you're Baltimore, okay, do we got to have a spy? Well, that takes a guy out of coverage. Do we have to play zone? Okay, that plays into maybe guys find windows, and that gives you some, 10, 11, 12 passes. So it's all stacking up in the Bills' favor offensively right now. All right, we talked about the offense for a couple of segments. Got to give us some credit to the defense. This is a Jacksonville offense who has some pretty good skill position talent, even without tight end Evan Engram. This Bills defense put the Jags in a vice grip. And, let's start with the pass rush, Jay. 5 sacks by 5 different players. What kind of threat is this rush developing into?
Well, you talk about a defensive game plan, and we've heard for a long time, going back to when Leslie Frazier was the defensive coordinator here, about trying to make a team one-dimensional. Well, clearly, because of the score, right, and the success that the Bills were having offensively, the game was really getting away from Jacksonville. You knew Trevor Lawrence was going to have to throw it. That means he was going to have to drop back. That's a pass rusher's dream, right? And it played out that way, and I think there's a lot of different positives to take from this edge rush. For me, though, I think we have to start with number 40, right? You got 3 sacks in a row here, 1 in each game for Von Miller. Coming into the season, Ryan, you probably said it, you wrote it, we've talked about it. Anything you get from that guy was going to be a bonus. Well, he's given them a big bonus right now. He is producing. He looks, I'm not going to say that he's prime Von Miller, who you covered in Denver, right? But he is contributing to this pass rush, and that is massive when you can get those types of contributions. And then it filters down, right? AJ Epenesa, we see him make a big play. We see Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram. Imagine saying that ahead of week 1, those two guys meeting at the quarterback, right, for a sack. So Bobby Babich is getting creative with his play calling. There was a play I watched where DeJuan Smoot, who was making his season debut, is lined up. He's an edge rusher, a bigger edge rusher. He's lined up at defensive tackle. He drops into coverage, right? And so, Bobby Babich has got the whole playbook kind of at his feet right now, too. And so when you are able to make a team one-dimensional and get effective, pass rushes like what we saw last night, it's going to lead to big games. And it was just a game of firsts. Catherine Fitzgerald, our coworker, wrote about that in Ingram gets his first sack. Tuhill gets his first sack. Javon Solomon, Mac Jones comes into the game, and he gets a sack fumble that probably should have resulted in a touchdown going the other way because of where the ball went. So, it was just one of those games. Obviously, Allen and the offense and what they were able to accomplish is going to get a lot of the headlines. But you're right to say that we can't forget about the defense and we can't forget about the pass rush because they put that game away.
On Von Miller, I thought if he got to eight sacks in 17 games, that would be a massive victory. I mean, he's almost half there. He's got 3 sacks in 3 games. And, Von knows he's 35. He knows he has 2 ACL repairs. You don't see him getting around the corner with a bend. What you do see him is he's got the burst back. That's how he's winning. He's decided, okay, if I can't get under a guy in terms of getting around the edge, I'll just blow right by him. And then, 4th down sacks, that's an obvious pass rush situation, but you still got to get there. You still got to capitalize. So I thought that was encouraging. I think it was good to see Epenesa get a sack as well. He's another guy who lined up inside against Miami. So you're seeing variations of getting, a more athletic pass rush package on 3rd down. I thought Daquan Jones had a quiet night last night, but I thought he's been good against the run this year. And Oliver's been good against the run. So all the guys we mentioned, guys who they were counting on and guys who have been thrust into bigger roles. It's, it shows you that I think this is a very well-coached team in terms of the second teamers because, Baylen Spector, Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, Dorian Williams, 6 weeks ago, they didn't expect to start, but they prepared like they were going to start. So you're seeing that preparation, reflected in their performance.
Yeah, with Von, I think it's 2 4th down sacks. Those go for obviously turnovers on downs. They don't count as takeaways in the stat sheet, but that's basically what they are. And that everybody eats mentality has been talked a lot about on offense. Well, guess what? The same thing has been true on the defensive line. Ed Oliver has starred at times. Rousseau was the star in week 1. Von has contributed. Epenesa has contributed. And real quick, Ryan, it's led to maybe directly or indirectly at times, but the takeaways and specifically the points off of those. I know you've been tracking that number. What's it at right now, and just how big has that been for the team?
I think they're at 38-3.
Okay.
Which is And that's only with one defensive touchdown. So that means you're obviously getting takeaways, but you're also getting them in plus territory.
Yeah.
So the offense doesn't have to drive 90 yards. I mean, that's not going to keep up. Maybe it will, but so complimentary football, you know, overused term, but Josh Allen used that last night. Hey, if the defense is going to give them ball at the 30-yard line, score a touchdown. And that's what they've been doing. And, we mentioned on the takeaway front, DeMar Hamlin, his first career interception, he's holding down to that safety spot. So that was a pleasant development for the Bills to get him on the scorecard. So, I mean, I think this defense is managing the injuries. And I don't want to say they're hanging on because they're doing more than that.
And Ryan, a 3-0 start is, you know, as good as anyone of realistically could have hoped for, but it is just that, right? It is just a start. And when you look at the schedule and a fairly rare upcoming 3-game road trip, banking those wins early in the season was going to be crucial because, you know, the three opponents that they've got on the schedule next, and I'm sure by now everybody knows them, but let's just run through them. It's at Baltimore, at Houston, at the New York Jets. Those are three teams with Super Bowl aspirations, certainly playoff expectations or aspirations as well. So this is the real teeth of the schedule, I guess you could say, that the Bills are just now about to enter.
Yeah, that's why I thought Monday night's game against Jacksonville was key for the Bills. You don't want to go into this 3-game swing at 2-1. Now you're 3-0. It doesn't mean you have a great margin for error, but you know the pressure isn't really on. But I'll start with Baltimore. First in yards per game, second in rushing yards per game, averaging 24 points. So the points aren't equating the yards, but this is going to be a huge challenge for Ed Oliver and DaQuan Jones to stop Derrick Henry. Bale Inspector and Dorian Williams got to keep track of Lamar Jackson. And so this is a Sunday night game in Baltimore. And so the Ravens sort of saved their season by beating Dallas the other day. So they're 1-2, but you know, they know that in that division, they're already two games behind Pittsburgh. So, and it's also a conference game. So that, this is going to be a double chin strap special, I think, Sunday night. I mean, the Bills are going to have to bring their work boots and to stop this run game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should point out that Sean McDermott has defended Lamar Jackson offenses pretty well in his career, but the challenge is different. You know, they have withstood these injuries defensively, as we talked about earlier on the show, but this is a different level, right? And you're losing some athleticism at linebacker without Matt Milano and without Terrell Bernard. So how does Lamar Jackson impact that? How does Derrick Henry impact that? Can the defensive line, as you pointed out, be stout and limit those holes for Henry and company? This is not going to be an easy game by any stretch. Now, the Ravens have struggled defensively. You know, they lost their defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald's, in Seattle, got the Seahawks off to a 3-0 start. So maybe this is another game where that MVP like Josh Allen needs to sort of, you know, emerge as he has so often early this season. But this is the biggest stage in football Sunday night. Two marquee opponents, you know, the reigning league MVP against the guy that right now is rightfully or should rightfully be considered the front runner. So, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead, but then, oh yeah, week five, it's the Diggs reunion down in Houston, right? So this is a really fun time. If you're a Bills fan, you're feeling really good about the 3-0 start and you're excited about some big time games coming up.
Yeah, I'll finish on Baltimore. Just one more point on that. They run two tight end. They use a fullback. So is this a base defense game for the Bills? They usually haven't gone that way, but maybe you see Nicholas Morrow playing more as that third linebacker. And you know, the injured guys with Johnson and Bernard, they're not on IR, but it doesn't feel like they're going to be ready to go this week. So the Ravens a big test. Texans, C.J. Stroud is better than Trevor Lawrence, so he's a test. And then you wrap it up with the Jets, and Aaron Rodgers looked like a mid-30s Aaron Rodgers last Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a quick week, right? You know, the Bills had the benefit of the 10 days between week 2 and week 3 against Miami and then Jacksonville. Well, that benefit is gone. Now they're preparing on a short week. Before you know it, we're going to be back out there at One Bills Drive covering practice on Wednesday. And our next edition of further review will be coming on Monday morning following the Bills against the Ravens. So for Ryan, I'm Jace Gursky. Thank you so much for watching, and we will talk to you again next week.